Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Good afternoon, everyone, and happy new year. Welcome to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. This is Josh Shores here with Peter Raber and Brian Brummett. New year, same Brummett. Trying to carry that into the new year.
If it was a different Brummett, we might have other issues. So.
Might get a little weird then. No, I started saying Brian's name all weird a long time ago, and I've tried to.
It does have an ETT at the end. Josh likes the Brummett. Capital I TT.
2024, we survived. I shared a funny post from several years ago about Y2K in honor of the new year, where it was a Best Buy, like little stamp, Best Buy stamp that said, don't forget to shut your computer down before midnight on 12/31/99.
Laugh. It was a major. So the Securities Exchange, like I remember working during that, and the Securities Exchange Commission told every investment advisor, you need to have a Y2K plan. You have to have all your data backed up on other systems. And like people were freaking out about it. We had no idea what was going to happen on those computers, and then nothing.
See, my dad's an engineer, and I don't feel like he was that alarmed about it, but mom was freaking out.
Well, you know, we got party like it's 1999 out of Prince, and you know, lots of different things out of it. But
so I reshared the post, obviously, duh, because it's too good not to. Just never forget hashtag Y2K. I don't really remember.
Did anything ever come from? Did anything bad happen with that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
The computer code just worked.
We don't freak out about it like turning to 2024.
I just have this image in my mind of some developer looking at the code and going, oh, huh, that's weird. And wondering, and you know, kind of the message getting out, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And then it was like, the code's probably going to work, but I don't know. And then it just spread like wildfire.
Well, that's the thing, is they'll just casually be like, it could end the world. I don't know. And then they just casually say it, but everybody freaks out.
Well, full disclosure, I'm not a big New Year's person, so I didn't really do much for the holiday. We kind of cooked all day, ate all day, pajamaed all day. That's about it. It was a struggle for me to stay awake, though. I'm not going to lie.
Did you make it till midnight?
I did. Yeah, my child was hell-bent on me staying awake.
I've watched on your Facebook. He's apparently just kicking your butt at video games lately.
He is real. We have an Xbox at home. And in my defense, I never play it, ever. Mostly because, I don't know, I'm finding, and maybe you guys can help me with this, since you're hashtag gamers.
We play a lot of video games. Yeah, we are proud gamers, for sure. Although we've never played a game together.
No, so, we haven't. We've talked about it once. Yeah, it
didn't. The thing I struggle with is on his Xbox, it only has so much memory on it. So it can only store so many games at a time. Right. And in order to get the new games, you have to free up space to bring the new games in. And it's just so daunting to me to do that. And it's like
external hard drive.
Yep.
Okay, well, see, that's what I was getting at. I didn't know if... So the external hard drive would kind of be the hub for all of those. And they could, and you could just pull them when you need them? Or how does that work?
So it's an external source of space. So you can have like a 4 terabyte drive. Or 1 terabyte or whatever you want to have. And certain games from Xbox require them to be installed on the main console to play them. But Xbox internally, you can move stuff around. So if you've got something that's like a 300 gigabyte game that you're not playing, but you don't want to get rid of, you can move it to the external hard drive, and then, oh, okay, I want to play it, so I move it back over.
Because right now you're having to uninstall it, and then when you want to play it again, if you ever want to play it again, you'd have to reinstall it.
Correct.
Plus all the updates.
Plus all the updates. You won't have to buy it again. This way it just keeps you from having to uninstall and reinstall.
It does keep you where you're at on the game, but yeah, it's
so like, you're keeping your saves essentially,
yeah,
and just getting rid of the download for the game.
But so anyways, I mostly don't play it because I feel like I would want to play some different types of games than him, and I don't want to fool with the back and forth.
It's
so
really easy to do with the external hard drive.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
and external hard drives have come way down in cost. So I remember buying a 20 gigabyte drive, which now is nothing. You can get a flash drive at Walmart, you know, probably for 10, 15 bucks, but paying probably close to $200 for it when they were first coming out. Now you can get, you know, multiple terabyte drives for, you know, $100, mm-hmm. and then it does free up your space.
Well, that's good to know.
And that's, which is good because games are getting bigger and bigger, like storage-wise.
He's got a couple that are real, like take up a lot of real estate on there.
Because by the end of my PlayStation 4 days, I could only get about one or two video games on there.
Right. I think we're going to see that's all going to go away too.
Just be cloud.
It's going to be cloud-based. Yeah. Xbox already has cloud-based gaming too, depending upon what level of Game Pass you have. And so we're going to go away from having to have that space locally, and you'll have the accounts that log in and you play it on the server of, you know, Microsoft, which has unlimited.
Which is just opening up the days when it's snowing outside and you don't have to go to school or work or anything, but your internet's down, so you don't get to play video games either.
It is a problem.
Yeah, that would be my luck.
Well, yeah, I did spend some time. He killed me. We played Madden 24 and NBA 2K24. I'm better at basketball than I am the football. The football is really intricate. And if you played it enough to learn all the ins and outs, I could see it. But like he does, I don't.
He's got that muscle memory. Yeah.
I'm like every time before we play, I'm like, okay, remind me what these buttons do again.
Josh is like, it's telling me to push the X button. Where is that?
But yeah, he's killing me at all the games, so it's not fun for me, but I try to be a good sport about it because I don't want to be the pouty dad that's like, okay, I quit after like two quarters.
We're turning off the Xbox too. You don't get to play either.
Yes, like, I'm putting this on Marketplace. We're getting rid of this.
Kids need to spend more time outside anyway.
I tell you what, Ben got NBA 2K, Ben and Ian both, for Christmas, and they were playing it, and they came out of that room sweating. They jump up and down when they play. They yell. That's not a foul. I mean, you'd swear he was actually playing a game of basketball with how like
yelling at the referee.
They get into it. Oh,
yeah.
We've had discussions about it. Doesn't matter if the fake man fouled your fake man. It doesn't, but Ben is one of those ones that, and I'm hoping that it goes one direction, which is it's what all true champions have, but otherwise it just becomes what all true jerks have, is that he hates to lose, and it doesn't matter at what. And it could be who sat down first. It could be who had the biggest plate of food. It could be who finished their food first. He doesn't, competition, he wants to win it.
Like you said, that's regardless. What champions have, though. It's but they tend to win more.
There's just not a lot of champions, and there's a lot of jerks. Just a lot so of we're jerks. Working on it.
I don't think it's like that with me. It's more about who it is. So if it's a person that I feel super competitive with, I'm going to feel that way. But then it's like I don't feel that way with everyone.
So he feels really competitive with his son?
Well, no, I feel like that's quite the opposite. Like I don't, because I know that he's just going to like torch me on anything we're doing.
It is hard to feel competitive when you have no chance of winning.
It does beat it out of you. I played on some very bad sports teams. And when you go like 3-25 on a season, you lose a little bit of that edge.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're mad, you're upset, you're training, but you just don't can't maintain that level of like hating to lose. Right. When
and it's hard to show quit. Up when you figure you're probably going to lose anyway.
Yeah. So But, you know, I lost New Year's, so I'm not, you know, worried about it. I got the stomach bug. I was at 11 o'clock, stomach bug hit. I dozed off and on and called it a day at 7 p.m. And family stayed up. They did our normal tradition of watching Indiana Jones and then the ball dropping eventually. They all fell asleep for the most part until then.
The boulder dropping.
We saved all of our snacking, which is our big thing, for yesterday and watched the Tennessee game, which, you know, it was a pretty good game to watch. So
it was. Brian, did you catch that?
I did not. I didn't know there was a game on.
See, you and Nani, Kate's mom, need to watch the games together because she came over to watch it, and she said, now, if they win this, will they make a bowl game?
Oh, Lord.
There you go.
And it was like, this is their bowl game. So, yeah.
Yes, Tennessee Volunteers are the Cheez-Its Citrus Bowl champions, baby.
Nice.
So much. I'm sure Coach Heupel is so glad it's the Cheez-Its Bowl and not the Duke's Mayo Bowl. So they dump a full thing, like a Gatorade tub of Cheez-Its on the coach.
Yeah, I saw that.
If you win the Duke's Mayo Bowl, you get a tub of mayonnaise dumped over the coach's head.
Full disclosure, Duke's mayonnaise is my favorite.
Yeah, baby.
I just like mayonnaise. So, yeah.
I mean, right. I like it. Yeah. Can we all agree that Miracle Whip is not mayonnaise?
Yeah.
It's not, but it's awesome. Not.
It does taste good.
We'll never agree on anything. I thought that was like the one chance.
It's not mayonnaise, but it's still good.
Nah, see, I don't think it's that great.
I put it in.
You said it's awesome, so we're way.
There's a lot of things that are great that aren't mayonnaise, though. So
put in that column.
Are you all new year, new me kind of guys?
Think the old me. But I might, I don't know. I should probably, my New Year's resolution is to come up with resolutions for next year. That and I want to read more, like, fun books.
I kind of feel like I'm okay. Like, me now is okay. I don't know.
I did come up with some for you.
I've moved away from resolutions that I know I'm going to break within the first week. It's more, I want this to be better, or I want this to be...
It's like showing up to the game knowing you're going to lose. Yeah, you just...
I think my big one, actually, and I've noticed it more lately, has been actually more safety. It'd be like putting the phone completely away when I'm driving. You know, yes. So Apple CarPlay, which is great, doesn't always work completely hands-free, and I find myself kind of looking downwards at the, you know, phone to try to get Apple CarPlay on the screen to do what I want it to do, and then, you know, a lot of times they disable things while you're moving, and you're like, I need to input the address so that I can know where I'm going. I'm not gonna. So, and I know it's all safety features. So I'm trying, especially now with, and I can't believe I'm saying this, Henry will be looking at a learner's permit in 3 months in March. I'm trying to be a better example for driving.
Everyone, I wish everybody could see his face when he said
that. Yeah, everyone just stop. This is a public service announcement for all of Sullivan County to be ready in 3 months.
If you need to go to the grocery store, do it before then.
I've seen him drive a go-kart, and I am concerned.
Well, go-karts are different. You never use a brake in a go-kart.
Well, but he didn't know the brake existed, and they called the race to a stop while he was on an incline. And we watched him just roll back down the entire incline to the bottom where he hit the barrier. So that was a lesson learned.
Wow.
Well, knowing there's a brake pedal is a good first step.
It's like, I thought they just went forward. That was the quote.
Now that is the mentality of a champion.
It's funny, I was asking about the resolutions because I was able to stumble across Forbes has put together a list of the kind of the top resolutions in the United States, and this is no surprise. I don't think anything on this list is really going to jump out at people, but I do think there might be a couple things in here interesting.
Let's Family Feud it. See if we can get them.
Yeah.
Family Feud it. Okay, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Brian has seen the list, though.
All right, well, I haven't looked because I didn't do any prep, so I'll be the guinea pig here.
A survey of 1,000 adults, which showed some resolutions tended to be more popular than others. The first one has to do with...
losing weight.
That is on the list, but it's not number one.
Okay.
losing weight is 34% of what the folks said, and it's actually fourth.
It's not what the ads on my phone say, so that may say more
that's
about me.
That's called targeting.
That's called targeted marketing, and I apologize for that.
I hate your industry.
It is. It's 34% say they would like to lose weight. That's the fourth on the list here. Do you want to give it another swing?
Pay off debt.
Okay. 38% said they would like to improve their finances. I feel like if we went to the judges' table, payoff debt would go with that. So that's actually number two.
Number two.
With 38%.
With 38%, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Find love. We'll go with that.
I'm so sorry if that was on your targeted ads, too.
No. I'm trying to figure out, because normally, like, that's the two things you hear is money and weight. So
it is closer to the weight.
Okay.
I'll give you one more stab at guessing here.
Improve my appearance in some way.
Kind of, sort of. No.
I failed.
That's two.
I got a third somewhere in there. There's three buzzers.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. I'm slightly competitive. I didn't say I wasn't competitive at all.
You're in jerk territory.
1,000 adults were surveyed. 1,000 adults
were surveyed.
Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't say men or women. It just says 1,000 adults.
So we've got weight. We've got money. We don't have improving our looks or finding love. Adopt a pet. I have no idea.
I wish that was what.
Go to PetWorks and adopt a pet.
There you go.
Here, let's run down this list. Number five was at 32%. Folks said they would like to improve their diet, which I feel like
that goes with weight.
Well,
but it could be with health now too.
But 34% said they would like to lose weight, and that's number four.
Okay.
Number three comes in at 36%, saying they want to improve their mental health.
That's interesting that that's come up, you know, the awareness of mental health.
Oh, yeah, that would not have been the case a decade ago.
I feel like that's very new, a couple of years new.
And probably important.
Yeah, that's number three. Yeah. And then number two, it was 38% said they would like to improve their finances. And number one was at 48% they wanted to improve their fitness.
Okay.
Which I guess is overall activity.
I feel like fitness and diet are a means towards weight loss, but it doesn't have to be. You can be more fit without losing weight.
That's true.
That's what I'm going for.
But let's be honest.
I want to just turn all of this into muscle.
You could be like mobility training or things like that, that you're not going to necessarily lose as much weight.
Or I want to be able to run a mile in, 5 minutes or whatever.
Or they're already fit. And they're the people we don't like in this world. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So here's the thing, right? You've got fitness, weight, and diet. Those are three standalone things. But in a normal human being's mind, those are like one thing.
One thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to me that they're all just, and of course, it's general stuff, but it's I want to be physically healthier, mentally healthier, and financially healthier.
Yeah, well, here, check this out. The other resolutions that didn't make the list
were the ones I said.
Was probably, making more time for loved ones.
Or finding them.
Quitting smoking, making more time for hobbies.
Quit things.
Now, I wonder if quitting smoking's actually used to be on the list.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, on the big list.
Okay, improving work-life balance and meditating regularly.
So in that mental health world as well.
The age group most likely to set resolutions are the 19 to 34-year-olds.
They still have hope.
Particularly parents and those who set resolutions from the year before.
Yeah, they still have hope. They haven't been beaten down by failing at them.
Everybody was just looking at me while you said that.
Most of these people keep their resolutions for 2 to 3 months before they ditch them, with about 1% making it to 12 months.
So I was reading about some of the types of resolutions you could do that you would be less likely. It needs to be quantifiable. So instead of saying, I want to, work out more, it's I want to do, 5,000 push-ups this year. Something quantifiable. And also something
easy.
Yeah. And something positive. So instead of saying, I want to not smoke today, phrase it, I want to do this instead of smoking today. And just trying to be, instead of like keeping you from doing bad things, try to turn it into you're doing something positive.
I could see it. I think the whole concept
that sounds
behind,
like a lot more work than I want to do. I think I'm still good with, I'm okay right now.
There's a reason why goal setting has its own section in the bookstore.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, it's everybody, and I think that's, as you get older, you start to figure that out a little bit too, is that you see these gurus on TV or wherever on the internet, and they say, well, you have to do it my way. And
everybody's unique.
Unique. And it's like, well, you don't struggle with executive function problems, or you don't have a back issue that means you can't work out the way that somebody, you know. So, yeah, I think it is about finding solutions, whether it's mental, physical, or definitely financial.
And not comparing yourself to others, too. Not saying, hey, because Josh is doing this, I have to be able to this year. Compare yourself to where you are right now. Saying, I want to be able to do this marginal difference to improve myself. But I think it's a great thing how many people are actually wanting to improve themselves, even if they're just saying, I want to lose weight. Just stating it's a step in the right direction.
Yep.
Now, once whoever figures out the second step, let me know. That's where I'm stuck.
Please give us a call. 423.
I call it the day two problem. You know, a lot of people know what to do. They're motivated. They do it on day one. Tuesday comes and they're like, oh, I feel awful from everything that I did that was supposed to make me feel better.
I have to do this 364 more times.
And then they just stop. Yeah. It's really hard to get past that pit of despair of when it's bad before it gets good.
Well, especially if you're dealing with things like diet and exercise, because if your diet's been, well, like my 2023 diet, if I were to totally clean things up, my body would go into some kind of shock and rejection, and I would probably feel terrible for a couple of weeks. I know anytime I try to kick caffeine, I get bad headaches. Just anytime I try not to eat sweets, I'm grumpy all the time, like 24/7.
And then when you get to, it's like you overdo it, and then it's harder to restart.
So I had a list of things that were looking at what the positives of the stock market being for 2024 and reasons why we might go higher. And kind of if we were looking out for 2024, the reason obviously we have a market is you got people who think things are going to go up, mm-hmm. people who think things are going to go down. And every year there's somebody out there predicting a market collapse.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know, we had a good market year in 2023. And coming off a really bad year in 2021. And there were some things that have been out there in the market where all the numbers look good in places, but I think people's lives feel worse because of the inflation.
Yeah.
And we've talked about the inflation before, and I really do feel like that's such a odd place that we got too comfy for too long, and then we got our shock from how fast we inflated, but on average, the inflation is still where it should be. So people don't feel that great with where they are. But right now, I went and found the most bullish person on the market. Right now, his name's Ed Yardeni, and I've followed him for a while. And he had a list of 12 reasons why he thinks the market's going to do really well. Potentially up 15-16% next year, as composed to, opposed to some of the collapses. You get everything in the between, so you've got the JP Morgans and Goldman Sachs and Bank of America's who all kind of take less drastic approaches in their predictions. It's very rare for one of those big houses to come out and say, hey, we're going to be up huge, or we're going to be down huge.
They almost always put it in the normal range.
Right. And so that's one of those things, I tend to like to look to the outliers, good and bad, to see what they're seeing and why they're so positive, and then pull back from those two numbers, mm-hmm. more so than just saying, on average, the stock market's up 7-10% every year.
On average anyway, yeah.
Right. So when someone like JP Morgan or Goldman Sachs comes out and says the market's going to be up 7-10% this year, I get less from that than I do kind of the extremes, then recognizing the extremes are probably not going to happen.
Especially, I love it when the extreme people give their reasons and actually break it down really well too, because that's something that I can turn around and kind of put it through my mental process of, does that check the boxes that I'm looking for?
Right.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he came up with a list. I won't go through the entire list because some of it's inside baseball and gets behind the curtain a little bit. He makes the argument that interest rates are back to normal, you know, versus they're high, and that, you know, we operated with these interest rates for the majority of our experience as an economy. We got really used to 0% interest rates, and there is a shock to coming up here, but this is where things have always operated and the economy grew with them. So that was one of them. Consumers still have a tremendous amount of purchasing power. They have gone through some of their savings, but they still have a tremendous amount of ability to spend as long as they're employed. And we have an unemployment rate that's tremendously low. And small businesses still are posting huge job openings. So the comment being, yeah, they may have burned through a lot of their savings, but they don't tend to slow down their actual spending until they don't have a job.
Right.
And so that's, you know, the credit card problem that we have in the world. Households are wealthy and liquid in a huge portion of our economy. And I thought this was an interesting stat. So there's 86 million households that own their own home, and 40% of those have no mortgage.
Wow. I would have thought it would have been different.
So, and most.
I am not in that 40%, unfortunately.
I relate to that.
So a lot of those are baby boomers.
Right.
And they've had the time period. So, yeah, it's really hard for someone coming out of college, but we're in the middle of this wealth transfer where a lot of those homes are going to get transferred to the next generation. They're going to get transferred free of debt. And so that may ease some of this pressure that we have, especially because we have no supply of housing. But those people aren't going to, you know, if mortgage rates go up to 8%, they don't care.
No.
And so we have, what, 330 million people in the United States? So if 86 million households have a home and 40% of those are paid off, then, you know, that's one of those things that works well. We still have strong demand for labor. What were some of the other ones that he was talking about? This is something that I don't think gets mentioned a lot. Onshore boom is kind of happening. So where we're bringing back manufacturing from China and third world countries, you know, to here, that continues to happen. We continue to, you know, have a lot of supply coming on the market, but it's not enough in the housing world. And this is probably the last one out of the 12 that I think, you know, really, well, maybe one more past this, but the corporate cash is at record levels. So
yeah.
Companies have so much cash on their books. And so when you think about what drives us into a recession, it's companies laying off workers because they don't have the cash flow to be able to pay them anymore. So there is the consumer may not have the same backstop that they did because they've spent off their COVID relief and everything else, but the corporations do. And the last one's just, you know, this is going to be true probably for the next decade, is the high-tech revolution. We're just at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. We're just now starting to. Yeah, the stuff we have now won't be considered technology in a couple decades. Be no. Like looking back at a bow and arrow and saying, yeah, that's good technology.
The AI takeover.
The AI is going to be wild.
I will say some of my favorite Christmas videos this year that have come out on some of the platforms have been like parents giving their kids like boomboxes and CD players. And them not knowing what they are. Like, there was this one kid who was like, why'd you give me a Roomba? And it was a CD player. It was just you remember that circular CD player that everybody had, the top lifted open, and then you could pop it in. And yeah, he thought it was a Roomba.
My first official paycheck, I bought a Walkman that can put a CD in there. It does kind of look like a Roomba.
Oh, he went CD
so
Walkman.
So yours, CD Walkman. I was thinking the cassette Walkman.
I had a cassette Walkman.
Yeah, I did too. Do y'all remember, I don't know, Peter, you're probably just a little bit too old for this, but.
I'm young at heart.
But they, when Home Alone came out, they made the little talk boy.
Yes.
Do you know? Remember what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I didn't know they made one.
Yeah, it's they sold that like it was a toy, and it came out. I don't know. When was Home Alone? I can't. It was 99.
Somewhere.
We just talked about that on the last podcast. Anyways, but I remember having one of those, and it was really cool because it was essentially just a tape recorder, though.
Right.
I mean, it, but it looked cool.
There's one for $99.99, so almost $100 for the 1992 Home Alone
92
Talk Boy Deluxe Tape Recorder. It looks cool.
That's it. Holy cow. That's looks wild. Cool.
Okay, I remember that.
That's wild. Yeah, I had one of those. That was cool.
Because it was one of the brothers who talked into that, right? Or did he? Was that Home Alone 2?
This is Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2. Yeah, he used it.
That's right.
That's wild. Someone's selling that for $100
bucks? Yeah, $100 on eBay.
Wow.
Macaulay just got his star on the Walk of Fame, and
I saw that.
His Home Alone mom, I'm forgetting the actress's name, was there to celebrate with him.
Yeah.
John Candy, was good in that movie. It's not one that like you think about with John Candy roles, but the Polka King of the Midwest.
Yeah. What was the town?
Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
We're real big in Sheboygan.
Real big in Sheboygan. Yep. That's so funny. Sheboygan.
Yep.
Real big in Sheboygan. Yep.
Polka,
that's
polka,
great.
Polka.
Polka. No, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay, well, we've kind of got to the tail end here, but Peter, maybe we can kind of keep these things that you have that you're just sharing kind of close and revisit those a little bit as we get a little deeper into the month. I think it's great to be encouraged for this year.
Yeah, and what I've never done this, and I always say, so maybe this would be a resolution. I'd love to come back in December and look at a list like this and say,
cool.
Which ones of these really played out versus not? Because normally by the time you get past the first of the year, why is the market going to be good or bad? You just get into the daily grind of whatever.
Let's do the next episode. Let's make a digital time capsule.
All right.
For these predicted things.
All right. That sounds fun. Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
I don't know. Time capsule sounds cool. Digicapsule? Digicapsule. That's really hard to say.
Sounds like a Pokemon.
Yeah.
I choose you, Digicapsule.
I'm still mad about that little yellow guy not being Pokemon. Do you not remember? Was he not here for that?
Was that with Kaylee?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was.
I told
him. So he thought Pikachu was named Pokemon.
I thought the little yellow dude was, his name was Pokemon. I thought that's what his name was.
And he just said,
Pikachu. I don't know, man.
See, the best thing about Pokemon is they do say their names. Like,
I
think that's like the marketing thing of it, though. You just say their names over and over, and all of a sudden kids want to buy everything.
And kids can memorize them. There's so many Pokemon, and like my boys will look at one and they're like, oh yeah, that's blah 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 blah, and I'm like, okay. And then they're like, oh yeah, it's the third form of blah 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 blah, and you're just like, I have no idea.
They need to make it to where the CFP was like gamified. I would learn so much more if I could just sit there and play a video game that taught me CFP principles.
I'm sure that's true.
Yeah, because I can remember video games really well. It's hard to sit down and read a book and just remember it the first time. You have to go back through it. Might be me. I need to gamify life.
Well, tune in 2 weeks to get our time capsule picks locked in for 2024. And then we will see at the end of the year what happens. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Maybe we can... Are we allowed to gamble? We can't do that, can we?
We can gamble in spirit.
That. In spirit. We will gamble
in
spirit.
I bet you your spirit.
Okay.
I think friendly wagers are within, as long as they're not above $500, I'm sure, or something like that.
It's fine. Well, we got to go get cracking on our time capsule episode. Follow us at AFI Advisors Everything, social media, website, and we will catch you guys later.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.